Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to greet you this Thursday evening at 9:30 for the Andrew Shatkin Show, a Blog Talk Radio show, which I have every evening, weekday evening, sometimes at 6:30, sometimes at 8 or 8:30, sometimes at 9:30, sometimes at 11. I also, the show also is broadcast on weekends at 11 o'clock. Now, tonight I'm going to, this show handles a number of topics, both literary, political, and theological and biblical. I have an MDiv from Princeton Theological Seminary, and I'm well-versed in theology. And so, those are the areas the show covers. And tonight, to give you a preview, I'll be handling the issue of what about suffering and pain? Why do we have it? Why does God allow it? Why does a merciful, loving God allow people to be hurt and to have and to suffer pain and suffering? It's a very complex question, and I'm going to try to attempt to answer it. But before I do that, I'm going to tell you a little about myself and how I approach this show. This show is a politically incorrect show. It's a show which we not are interested in media rhetoric, media lies, media falsehoods. We're interested in critical thinking and honest discourse and honest thought to gain truth and facts. That is the object of this show, truth and facts gained through critical thinking, primarily through reading great books. I believe books are the agency of true thought. Without books, there will be and there is no intellectual activity, period. Very minimal. Television, as Mortimer Adler said in his book, How to Read a Book, he said that the images that we think we'd learn from are drugs, and he made another very important statement in this book, The Bible is the Foundation of Western Culture and Civilization. Most of all, he made the very important observation that television, computers, and images are images which we think we learn from are passive receptacles, and they are drugs, which is what he said in this book. Now, as I said, second thing about my show, that I'm a Christian, and a Lutheran Christian, and I a person who adheres to the Christian full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and adheres to the creeds of the Church, the Apostles, Nicaeus, and Athanasian Creed. And if I read a book, it's going to be a Christian book. The great Christian thinkers such as C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, Hilaire Belloc, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine, Calvin, Luther, Bonhoeffer, T.S. Eliot, whoever you might name in the Christian pantheon, these are the people that I read and benefit from. I would include John Milton, the author of Paradise Lost, one of my very favorite authors. He's a great thinker and a great writer. And he handled the issue of the fall of man into sin as the subject and object of his great epic poem, Paradise Lost. And Mortimer Adler said of an epic poem, which Milton wrote when he was blind, he wrote it when he was blind as he wrote Paradise Regained and Samson Agonistes, he wrote these very great works when he was blind and could see nothing. Such was the power of his great, great intellect. As Mortimer Adler also said in this book, How to Read a Book, the greatest challenge a writer can face is to write an epic poem. And Milton's Paradise Lost, as well as Spenser's Faerie Queen, are the two English-speaking epics that I can think of. And for me, Milton's Paradise Lost, in this epic poem, Milton handled the issue of sin and how it came into the world. And it's a question we all, why there is sin and evil in the world, is a question we all have to handle. And Genesis 2 and Milton answer this question. Second of all, I run two radio shows, a podcast show, who have had over 4,000 visitors, and a blog talk radio show from many Muslim countries, including Saudi Arabia, and Iran, and Iraq, and United Kingdom, and Germany, and France. So almost every country in the world visits this Blog Talk radio show. And I'm very pleased that our dear Muslim brothers and sisters in Saudi Arabia visit this show. this Blog Talk Radio show. These shows have a Christian orientation, yet my dear mothers and brothers and sisters are willing to listen, as I am willing to listen to them. The next thing is I've written 10 books, Christian books and legal books, 5 Christian books. This is in the Christian worldview. This is in faith, culture, politics, and philosophy, a book on the parables, and a book, most recently I completed a book on the Psalms. The Psalms, to me, are the greatest religious poetry found in the Bible. Every day I read them, I'm inspired by them. I memorize 1st, 2nd, and 23rd Psalm in Sunday school when I was a young person. And the Psalms are, as John Donne, the Anglican poet, said of the Psalms, they are the manna of the church. They are the voice of Christ and the voice of God, imploring us to listen to him. I also have written over 800 blogs, which have also been visited by many people from many countries all over the world. Many Muslim countries include, these are Christian blogs, many of them, not all of them, but they are fully available on social media, my website, and on academia.edu. That's as much as I have other books planned, a book of my blogs, 2 books of my blogs, one of which I've just about completed. I'm looking for a publisher. And I've also I'm writing a book on the miracles in the Bible and on the book of Job. Those are some of the books that I'm planning. Book of Job is a very great, great book. It's the story of a Edomite, a non-Hebrew, who was tested by God with suffering, and it's a very great story. It is thought that he came from a Greek background, or at least Greek culture. Now I want to talk about tonight the matter of suffering and pain. Everybody knows that in this life we all will, to some degree, suffer in pain, whether physical or emotional. It comes throughout our lives at various times, from birth to death, and it's a present reality. We come to this life in pain, in the process of living, and then dying, we are inflicted with pain and suffering. So pain and suffering are a reality of life in this world. Sometimes some pain we cannot escape. It comes upon us through agencies beyond our control, such as disease, illness, or natural disaster. That's one source of pain and suffering. And that comes from the fall of man into sin in the Garden of Eden. But the pain, there is this there is pain and suffering that comes on matters beyond our control, such as disease, illness, or natural disaster, earthquakes, volcanoes, tornadoes, hurricanes, or pestilence. On the other hand, most of the pain and suffering that comes upon us as human beings, most pain and suffering comes from human agencies, wars, crime, the cruelty of a spouse, or at our jobs through the power wielded by those above us. The fact is that our fellow human beings, given power of us, often cause us pain and suffering. So yes, there is involuntary pain of suffering, which is beyond our control, such as disease and illness. And then there's the pain and suffering that comes upon us as human beings through human actions and agencies such as wars and crimes. And the fact of the matter is that human beings given power other people often cause them pain and suffering. Now, I think I'm going to talk about why I think we suffer as human beings, pain and suffering, and why God allows it. Let me say that I have endured little or no physical or emotional pain, and I've hardly suffered in my life. I'm not in a position to speak about this issue. But so my thoughts may have a hollow ring. I have never known the pain of the terminally ill cancer patient, and I have to say that our thoughts are not very deep on this issue. But nevertheless, I'll try to explain why human beings suffer pain. As I said, there is pain that comes upon us through natural events. And such as volcanoes or tornadoes or hurricanes or disease or pestilence. And for the Christian, we believe this pain comes from our fallen humanity or degraded and corrupt human nature. One can say that in the fall of Adam into death and sin, our otherwise perfect relationship with God the Creator was twisted and shattered, with the result that pain and suffering came into the world that formerly knew nothing of pain, which is why we have these natural disasters and the pain of childbirth and the pain associated with death and dying. So, yes, there is this involuntary pain, which we believe comes from the fall of man into sin. This is one, perhaps, very weak explanation as to why we have so much pain and suffering in this world. However, having explained the involuntary presence of pain, I have to say my explanation is somewhat lame, since why would a merciful and compassionate God, whose love is so great that it didn't stop at the cross where Jesus died for humanity, for people who were neither knew him, were indifferent to him, or rejected him, or loved him. Why does God allow this pain, this involuntary pain, to be part of our lives and end our lives? We have this involuntary pain. The explanation is that it came through the fall of man into sin, where the world was destroyed in its original incorrupt form. Well, let me give another sort of, I've explained this involuntary presence of pain and the fact that many human beings cause other people pain very frequently, whether in their marriage or their job or in a war or whatever, in crime. However, let me give a positive take on pain and suffering. Without pain and suffering in the course of our earthly lives, I have to say we don't grow and develop as human beings. I think that if we don't have pain and suffering, we develop no compassion for those around us, for their tribulations and for their sufferings. There are some chance we would not be able to understand these sufferings. So if we do not suffer pain and experience some pain in the course of our earthly lives, we do not grow and develop as human beings. I think suffering and pain, God allows it because it develops compassion for those around us and their tribulation and for their sufferings that otherwise we may not even pay attention to. I think it is a sure thing we do not grow and love or not able to love absent pain and suffering in our earthly lives. I don't think we grow. We don't think we grow in love or are able to love without a degree of pain and suffering. Without this pain and suffering, we remain selfish and egocentric, never understanding the suffering and pain of our fellow human beings. So I think the key is that if we don't suffer and experience some pain in the course of our earthly lives, we don't grow and develop as human beings. Suffering allows us to develop compassion for those around us, for their tribulations and for their sufferings that we might not be able to understand or comprehend without having suffered. I think it is a sure thing that we do not, moreover to the point that not understanding the suffering of others, we do not grow in love or not able to love pain and suffering. We are not able to truly love at all. Without suffering and pain, we remain selfish and egocentric, never fully understanding the suffering and pain of our fellow human beings. So pain is a tool that God uses to enable us to grow an understanding and compassion for the sufferings of others. Without suffering, we do not grow and develop as human beings. We don't develop compassion for those around us, for their sufferings. That if there is a chance without suffering, we wouldn't be able to understand it. I think it's a sure thing we do not love or are not able to love absent pain and suffering. Without suffering and pain, we remain selfish and egocentric, never understanding fully the suffering and pain of our fellow human beings. I think God is painted as a tool. God uses to enable us to grow in love and understanding and compassion. Another explanation for pain, for God allowing pain, is that Christ is the model of the new man or woman. He took pain and suffering on himself. From eternity, he came to lower himself to take on human form. He had no wealth and power in this earthly life and chose to be a carpenter, or better put, a working man. He died a ghastly and awful death of slow and agonizing crucifixion. He did all of this out of love for all present and future generations and human beings, even for those who have rejected him and continue to reject him. So Jesus is the person who has suffered. It is the suffering of God. And we cannot have a relationship with Christ, understanding his mercy and love and compassion, taking upon ourselves his pain and suffering. We cannot grasp and understand his eternal sacrifice and love without doing the same. So we will never have a relationship with Christ unless we take upon ourselves his suffering and his humility and his limitations. We will never have a relationship with Christ or his underlying mercy and love without taking upon ourselves in some fashion this pain, sacrifice, and suffering. That's the second thing, that use that God makes use for pain and suffering. The first is that we develop our compassion for others. The second thing, we cannot have a relationship with Christ without taking on his limitations and pain. And third, that although this life has its share of natural pain, which we can't control over much void, the fact of the matter is that a great deal of pain comes from the malice and wickedness of others. We cannot blame God for allowing pain when he grants us freedom of choice and free will. This life, there is a share of natural pain, but it must be said that much pain comes from the malice and wickedness of others who inflict pain on those around them on a regular and constant basis. We can't blame God for allowing pain in human beings and wickedness when he grants us freedom of choice. We may choose in our relationships with others to ignore their needs or relieve them, not to relieve them, or even to cause pain. But the fact of the matter is he gives us freedom. So this freedom involves wickedness and pain. The history of the world is filled with torture, suffering, and war. We cannot blame God for our free choice of wickedness and evil. So the third point is that in this life, there is natural pain from natural events, but much pain comes to the malice and wickedness of others who inflict pain on those around them. We cannot blame God for allowing pain when he gives us freedom of choice and free will. We may choose in our relationship with others to ignore their needs and not to relieve their pain or even deliberately cause others pain. But the fact of the matter is that with freedom comes the ability to inflict pain and hurt others. The history of the world is filled with torture, slavery, war, genocides, and cannot blame God for our free choice of wickedness and evil. So pain came into our fallen world and continues to be caused by others on a continuous basis. So the Creator, as he does with all things, uses pain for his own purposes. As I said, through pain, we develop compassion and charity and love that if we were totally protected in our lives, we would never come to know. Pain comes from natural disaster, coming from the fall of man into sin in the Garden of Eden. And most of all, it comes from our twisted human nature. And with pain, we overcome our selfishness and self-love. you have to say that it's only through pain we can come to know ourselves truly and deeply and come to know Christ. We can't have love without pain and suffering. Pain comes from our corrupt, twisted, and degraded human nature, and enables us to develop compassion for others and shed our selfishness and self-love. One can only have love of a relationship through pain and suffering. That is the only way love can come. Perhaps the love of the mother, the highest and most elevated form of earthly loves, can only be attained through the pain and suffering of pregnancy and sorrows and childbirth. It's only in pain that we come to know ourselves and come to love others and come to know Jesus, the image of eternal and undying love. That's as much as I want to say tonight about this. You can find this chapter in my book, Suffering and Pain, A Tentative Answer, on page 41, on Essays in the Christian Worldview and Others. And I do hope that you have enjoyed this little talk, and I hope it sheds some light on why there's pain in the world and suffering. I've given some explanations and answers, and I hope it's provided some explanation. So I do hope that you've enjoyed this talk and found it interesting. And I was glad to speak about something so terribly important that needs to be explained. Thank you very much.